Welcome to the Ross Chapman audio experience.
I make this analogy all the time that the only time I've ever seen anything like this was back when WordPress was kicking off. WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, the battle of the CMSs, open source CMSs, and they all had essentially the same toolkit. The main difference was the community that was forming around WordPress. That's why I went to WordPress, right? Like I had other friends who went Joomla, Drupal route, and they were very successful, but there was never the thing that happened with WordPress. And I see the same thing kind of happening now. There's lots of other tools you can build websites with, but this community in the Webflow space is something else.
Here with Raimar, who is fresh off State of Flow, which looked incredible. I've got massive FOMO, and I'm already looking forward to Webflow Conf, which you're going to as well. So thanks for finding the time and being on today's episode.
Yeah, of course, my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
Awesome. For anyone that doesn't know you, Raimar, and for my audience as I transition more into no code and the future of design, frankly, can you give this audience a few lines on, you know, what you're all about and where you're coming from?
Yeah, my name is Raimar Tirado, and I am a Webflow community ambassador, I guess you could say. I don't even know what you call it. I dabble with software. I've been active in the Webflow space for a long time, but also in the WordPress space for a long time before that. I dabble with software. I'm an artist. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a community builder at heart, and I think that's kind of the core of where State of Flow and a lot of the community effort comes from.
Awesome. How did you get into this space? Like, what was tech all about? Were you growing up with it? Was it something that you fell into? What led you here?
Yeah, I actually was in sales, and then I got lost in corporate sales. And then in 2007, 2008, the world kind of fell apart. It's a longer story than I think we have for this podcast, but that leads me to, like, my whole world fell apart. I got divorced. I found out why my wife was cheating on me. I lost my job. Like, all these things kind of happened in like a short span of time. And I end up from like the top of the world to, you know, in my mom's basement. And in that process, I decided I wasn't going back into corporate sales. I wasn't going to go back into that world. I was never going to let anybody put me in a position where I could be like fired and my whole world could fall apart like that again. And so I started trying to figure out what that was. My mom introduced me to this tech guy. He was selling this text marketing software. I was like, okay, I can sell this for you. Turns out he was just licensing this software from somebody. And so I figured out how to license the software myself. I started selling that. And 6 months later, I landed my first web design client. I didn't really sell a lot of text marketing software, but in the process of talking to people, I figured out they wanted websites and integrated marketing, and that I was a good storyteller. And so, like, my sales days like brought a lot of things into the world that I didn't have before. And so I like slowly started hacking my way into tech, started with building WordPress sites, led to starting a blog that went viral. I started figuring out, well, how do I monetize this? Which led me to a startup. And yeah, lots of things that lead me down the road of, you know, it depends on how deep you want to go at any of those facets, but total hacking my way into tech. Like I don't have any traditional background in tech.
Yeah. Yeah. But
which I think is good. I think it's what no code is like super cool for. In my mind, like the stuff that they're building in Silicon Valley is great, and it's going to empower lots of people to build other things. But the things people are building without code and the visual software development stuff that's kind of happening at the ground level is allowing people like me to use software to solve like real world problems in a way that kind of we hadn't been able to do before. And that's super cool. That's what I'm most bullish about. And that's why I think the community is so prolific here. That's why so many people are excited. It's like they're getting access to these tools that had before only been limited to, you know, like a very small subset of people who could write code.
Absolutely. And you've talked, and you're quite prevalent as a community leader. What is it about? Is it from your sales background about, you know, sharing and being able to bring people together that aligns what you want to do with community? What is that relationship between, you know, running events like State of Flow or just being part of a ever-growing interested community?
Yeah, I started with a WordPress meetup way back when, probably in like 2012.
Yeah.
But even before that, I was doing stuff in my local community. Like I was organizing with the young professionals in the area, and we were advocating for like affordable housing and different political issues, and we were organizing little volunteer efforts. And at the time it was mostly just like career advancement stuff. It was networking for career. It was like, you know, trying to schmooze with people and trying to get noticed in space. And then it became like, hey, I kind of want to see certain things that I don't see happening around me. you know? And so like an event wasn't happening the way I liked it. And I was like, maybe I'll do an event. And we got into doing like a lot of political stuff. We did a big town hall. We moved the needle here in local politics. And so getting people like moving in a local area was kind of the start. And then the pandemic hit and I stopped kind of doing all that. Obviously everyone stopped doing all the in-person stuff. Yeah. And I went all in. I was also doing video at the time. So a big chunk of my business was video and local video. So it was a local media startup and I was just going around to City Hall. Literally I'd show up with my video camera, just like recording stuff. And I'd do little vignettes about proposed plans to like shrink a road or do whatever. And so like, yeah. I started just sharing information and getting people plugged into what was going on. And we started moving the needle. And so I started seeing like, oh, okay, you can kind of like shape things with community, with technology, with media. And so when the pandemic hit, I went fully in on websites. That's when I ended up, you know, going over to FinSuite, that, you know, and so like taking some of that community stuff and taking it online. We were already doing events ahead of that. So I was doing like big online events leading into that. And so I don't know, it's just like a blend of things that kind of just the world forced me into this way. And it's just been constantly adapting. But the community side of things is how people connect. And I think we're all like looking for some of those connections, especially these last few years. We've all been kind of like tied up and not be able to have as many social interactions as possible. And so doing that right and doing it in a way that's authentic. And I don't know, I wasn't happy with what I was seeing.
Yeah,
from an event.
You're scratching your own itch. Like,
yeah, let me go do it. Which kind of sucks because I would have loved to attend State of Flow and not have to plan it, to be honest. I was like, damn, I just want to be here.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done anything on the scale of State of Flow, but having run evening workshops and meetups and things, is anyone going to show? Is tech going to hold up? Is the food going to arrive on time? Is everyone going to have a great time? Like that, as well as presenting your piece. And yeah, it's... It's like the opposite of the night before Christmas. It's
what we pulled off with the team we had and the budget we had. I'd put that up against any team in the world.
Yeah.
Like honestly, like with the money that we had to throw this event and the team that we had being all volunteers, like I would challenge anybody out there to put on a better event. Like typically a production like that would have had a team our size just managing the production. Another team our size, venue and catering and blah, blah, blah. And then another couple people probably managing all the content. And, you know, like, yeah. So I don't know. It's a hell of a, I explained it to somebody who's like planning three weddings back to back because it was like three full days of events, you know? So it's like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. Well, look, State of Flow, claiming and absolutely winning at being the biggest community organized Webflow meetup on the planet. I saw it come up on Twitter. I was like, I can't get there. I'm going to have massive FOMO. Looked incredible. You've got hours upon hours of content that looks super valuable. And I've only just scratched the surface going into it. What were your highlights on that? Obviously, you've got the stresses of running a really kind of high stakes community event. But looking back at it now and kind of, you know, getting off the high that you had, what would you say were the highlights for you?
I think for me, the talk on the second day, so the freelance feud, the games were fun.
Yeah.
The improv games that we did, because we totally made those games up. We had
they were so polished though. Like, well, they looked amazing.
The freelance feud game, y'all got to see one full rundown of it, but there were these two other games that we played as well. And there was like this team flow game where two people had to people had to team up in a teams of two. And then one person could face the computer and build and the other person had to direct. And the person building could not see what the other person was directing. And so like we then gave the director a card that had a graphic on it. And if you could see this card, it'd take you like less than a minute to build in Webflow. Literally, it's like a 30-second, 45-second build. But since you can't see it and you have to describe it, it like became this challenge of how can you communicate this back and forth. And so it was a fun thing to like build. And then we played another game where like teams faced off and had to ask each other questions. And I don't know, I just kind of made up these games and it turned into like the improv thing. So seeing those come to life and seeing the crowd actually enjoy that was a big relief for me, because that was like a total wild card. You know, it's easy to just like let somebody who's really talented and like is really good get up on stage and just speak for a little bit.
Yeah.
But to pull the audience in and make it so that everyone feels like they're involved at some level or that they're all jumping into this conversation, that was all kind of an experiment and it went off like amazingly. And so between that and a couple of the conversations we had, like with the folks from Unfold and Melissa and Johnny Gomez from Webflow, that State of Web Design, that was my favorite talk. And then it was the moments outside of the camera, like the stuff nobody got to see. You know, like we all went out Saturday after the VIP dinner. The VIP dinner was super special. There was like 60 of us in a ballroom, just like, you know, reminiscing the whole weekend and super excited. Everything was kind of over and we just had a beautiful meal and a couple drinks. And then we all went out and like, there was like a group of 40 of us running around downtown St. Pete. I got kicked out of a bar for jumping a fence. You know, so there's like this moment where I was like, I'm not waiting in this line. We were late to the bar. Everybody else was already inside. It had been a long day. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I like just sat on the edge of this fence and like tried to like sneaky slide in, you know. And a couple minutes later, some security guard just comes and taps me on the shoulder. And he's like, did I just watch you jump the fence? I was like, nah, it wasn't me. And so like they kicked me out of the bar. And then of course everyone's leaving because like, who, you know, so we all go to the next place. And it was just like fun little moments where we all bonded and connected and probably drank a little too much. But it was like those moments and the whole premise of the conference, the whole premise of the get together was to mimic the hallways of a conference rather than a conference itself. Because at every conference I've ever been to, my most valuable takeaway is in the hospitality suite. It's in the hallway between the talks. It's during the lunch break where you like actually get to sit down and hang out with folks. Those are the moments that like make that special. And so we're like, how can we do a whole event that's just that? You know, like forget about the rest of it. Go watch the other shit on YouTube. You know, like if you're gonna get in person, like how do we just hang out? And so the whole weekend was really structured around that. And I think you introduced it as like the largest Webflow meetup, but we're calling it this digital creators retreat. And we want that to kind of grow and evolve. And we're already like talking about like, what does next year look like? And how can we expand some of the tracks and looking at like web design and community as kind of like the three pillars of this thing that we're doing. And it'll still always kind of be a core Webflow focus. But that digital creator space, you know, this no code, the visual software development space, the talks about design and the talks about kind of AI and technology and the future blended inside of there was like super cool. So seeing how this event evolves is going to be exciting for us, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so pleased that you're even thinking about the next one.
100%.
You know, that's just awesome. The focus on digital creators makes so much sense looking at your passion and interest around monetizing content and, you know, providing creators with a way to live and grow and thrive. You must have met so many people at State of Flow. You know, were they excited about the future of no code, about Webflow itself? Like, did they share any of their journeys that they kind of gone on similar to yours or quite different?
Yeah, I think that was the unifying theme with all of us, was that we all kind of are just excited about what's happening in the space. Nobody really knew what to expect. We were very vague about what the event was going to be. You know, if you looked at it ahead of time, it was just kind of like, okay, some cool people are going to be in a place talking about these things. All right. It was kind of a leap of faith for people to come, especially to a first year event, not knowing what to expect. Next year, I think the tickets will sell a little faster, but I think that was the unifying core, was just people wanting to get together and then the spirit of being able to create online and free yourself digitally. And so some people there were very successful. Some people there were like looking to kind of learn from those folks and just entering on this journey. But I think that spirit of just, hey, there's something new happening here. We don't really know how to quantify this yet because it's so foreign to what people see as like a channel to go out and earn money as a viable like career path. That I think, yeah, we were just all intoxicated to be around people who get that. Because I can't talk about this with anybody, like with any of my friends. Very rarely do you bump into somebody who understands, you know, like what it's like. Like I sit here in this cockpit of screens around me. You know, if I go to like this shot here, I got like screens wrapped around me. I got another screen in front of me. I literally touch this keyboard in this metal box all day and then money comes into my bank account somehow. And that's such a new thing in this world.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that are kind of exploiting that in their own little way. Some of them are playing video games. Some of them are designing things. Some of them are architecting things. Some of them are making 3D models. It's like, wow. Some of them are recording video and audio and things. It's like, holy cow, there's all these people that are just making stuff and we're just figuring out how to like monetize this stuff. Because up until now, the only people monetizing it have been Facebook or Twitter or, you know, like these big media companies or these big platforms. And whatever comes in the next few years, as people figure out more and more ways to keep that value lower to the network, closer to the creator network, that was with the vibe that ran through that whole event that I think connected us all. And that's why we're really going to lean into that digital creators retreat, because it's like, and that state of flow, right? That concept of being in the flow or getting into the flow. So Webflow is a big chunk of that. And I think they will continue to be a big chunk of that, but there's so much happening that like ties into that, that could tie other things into that. That's what makes it exciting, is like there's room to grow this thing.
Oh, totally. It's an exciting space. And like you, you know, many years ago when I got into being a creator myself, taking on something like WordPress and being able to mess around and customize themes and then starting to understand the themes and then moving on, you know, Webflow seems to be that go-to you can start using, and then over time and watch a few YouTube videos, really get to create. And, you know, the Webflow roadmap is also progressing. You know, we've got Logic coming in, we've got membership. You know, there seems to be an active community of creators contributing to this mm-hmm. platform rather Correct. Than just wholly relying on the internal Webflow team. And this every day you know I see something new. Yeah,
this is how you know it's going to win. Like this is, I make this analogy all the time, that the only time I've ever seen anything like this was back when WordPress was kicking off. And it was WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, the battle of the CMSs, open source CMSs. And they all had essentially the same toolkit. The main difference was the community that was forming around WordPress. And that's why I went to WordPress, right? Like I had other friends who went Joomla, Drupal route, and they were very successful. You know, they had lots of success building websites and it was great, good for them. But there was never the thing that happened with WordPress. And I see the same thing kind of happening now. There's lots of other tools you can build websites with, but this community in the Webflow space is something else. And as soon as Webflow figures out how to get out of their own way to open up the back end of Webflow, because I think right now there's a lot of technical limitations. You know, there's like lots of hurdles to building tools inside of Webflow. And so once Webflow makes that easier for developers to get into that back end and they open up that app store, it's off to the races. I always make the analogy that Webflow is iOS before the app store and WordPress is BlackBerry right now. And everyone at the time that iOS came out and iPhone came out, they were like, oh yeah, that's just a toy. You know, look at all the kids playing on the toy. And so like people in the dev world, people in the enterprise level world, they look at Webflow and they're like, oh, it's a toy. But soon this toy is going to be opened up for everyone to build on. And when that happens, you know, we all know what happened to BlackBerry when iPhone came out with the App Store. So yeah. I imagine that will happen when Webflow opens up their App Store or plug-in marketplace or back-end or however they do that. It will be a flood of everyone building WordPress plugin. Will be like, oh, I guess we'll build a Webflow plugin too. And it's off to the races at that point. I mean, it's already off to the races.
Yeah, yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, we know in other areas, you know, convergence is all popular. And when I started to get into the Webflow land, I was immediately understanding that you're using a visual editor that then corresponds to the output being a coded website. And this merging of design and development makes total sense. As you see, you know, Web 2.0 evolving and maturing, those two worlds have to come together. And you know, we're talking on the day of the announcement of Adobe offering Figma $20 billion. And everyone's like moaning about it. But the few comments that I've agreed with, they're talking about Figma being a graphical app, a graphical, you know, editor for what you're essentially designing software. Now, designing a picture that then gets coded up, it does seem like that's the future. And I'm keen to see how certainly Webflow's visual editor moves forward, but also learning from others, like, are people sketching those, you know, 40 pages of sketches that you mentioned in State Flow and then designing in Webflow? Even the process about approaching a problem or a challenge and then hitting no code tools. I feel like there's a lot of, you know, new process and involvement that can happen there. So you must be seeing this too, that this, you know, even Webflow designers are pretty much Webflow developers as well, right?
Yeah. There's lots of contention in the space as to, like, do you design in Figma or some other visual software first and then go to Webflow, or do you design in Webflow? And I don't know, I've kind of been a fan of both instances in certain times. Like, sometimes I just like to go right into Webflow and explore. But also then sometimes you need to have ideas and concepts and some style boards and some, you know, some design direction before you jump into Webflow to make things easier, so you're not like having to redo stuff, because I've also done it the other way where then you have to go rebuild stuff, or, you know, things get sloppy, you have lots of crazy extra classes and stuff. So
the classing can catch you out early on. If you don't get it, you're duplicating classes from day one.
Correct. And then especially if you're just overriding every class, if you're not really familiar with how things work, and then you're just creating all these like one-off classes just to style a little component. And so then, just like in Figma or any really design software, you could have a million layers without naming convention. You just gonna end up with a Webflow site that's just, you know, unmanageable. But every person has their workflow, and I think that's the beauty of it, because I think that happens with code a lot too, where, you know, like a lot of developers, they don't, you know, maybe they sketch something out, maybe they wireframe a database, maybe they like architect the relationships between, you know, the data structures, but, you know, a lot of times they just start ticking away at some code too, and they start building things, and sometimes you got to refactor the code, and sometimes it's not as efficient or lean as you want it. And so I think designers are now learning those same types of workflows where sometimes you just got to go and build, and then you're like, okay, and then maybe somebody can refine it, and then you can go back and retweak it. And yeah, it's just that iterative process, but that's again just like software or anything really.
It's an exciting time. I'm really looking forward to, you know, diving more in and contributing to the community and listening to what people are doing with it and going forwards. So Reimer, what's next for you? You've obviously got the kind of drop after State Flow, thinking about the next one, and you're going to Webflow Conf in November as well.
Yep. Yeah, we filmed a lot at State of Flow. I've been filming for the last 2 years also, and we'll be filming on the way to Webflow Conf.
Nice.
I don't know what we're going to do with any of that, but the goal is like some kind of documentary style content, whether that's a long form piece or some kind of series along the way. We don't know. We're trying to formulate that right now. My long term goal is to kind of organize this community in a formal way. Right now, it's kind of happening ethereally and very loosely. And I think what you see in a lot of these industries as they evolve is there's like some kind of formal association that forms around the group. And that's what we're trying to figure out. So we're talking to all the different agencies. We're talking to all the top community leaders. We're talking to all the people that are in the space and just saying, like, what does it look like for us to officially have some kind of entity that does events like this, like State of Flow? And, you know, like not one agency owns that, right? So it's not like FinSuite owns this event, or Edgar Allen owns that event, or, you know, whatever agency, enter name here, owns this thing. It's like, this is the community owns these events, and all of these different agencies and all these different players participate. And so what does that look like officially? Can we get Webflow support on that project? I think so. We for sure have all the agencies already in. The sponsorships and support we got for State of Flow was unreal. And so just trying to figure out how to, and that just means this community is maturing, right? It means there's enough agencies that are doing enough business where it makes sense for them to support this stuff. As like, you know, some of it counts against advertising dollars, some of it counts against goodwill in the community, some of it counts against just like innovation in the space and wanting to be kind of at the forefront. And so there's a lot of reasons why people would want to be involved in this. And we're trying to figure out, how do you package that value proposition up? How do you put that out into the world? And then how do you make sure that, you know, you continue to deliver high quality at every step for all those folks?
Makes sense. Well, I look forward to hopefully seeing you in November in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll see you out in San Francisco. Yeah.
Awesome. And if anyone wants to find you, Raimar.com is there. You're quite active on Twitter, I see, as well.
Yeah, Twitter's probably the best yeah. place right now to get any kind of engagement. Raimar.com, it's funny because it's like the cobbler's shoes. That's an old WordPress site that I keep pretending like I'm going to flip it over to Webflow one day, and I've taken like two or three swings at it, and then like I just never got to it. And so probably now that State of Flow's over, I'll dedicate some time to repackaging up my brand and my story. I think people will be seeing a lot more of me in both community and content. I got my start in the space as a blogger and kind of a shit talker online, and I missed that a little bit. So I'm gonna just jump back into that game a little bit, I think.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, yeah. Raimar. Really you, appreciate brother. You hanging out. And thank you, yeah. Best of luck with the future. Great.
Talk soon. Thank you.
Awesome.